Good day, and welcome to the Laurentian Bank Acquires CIT's Canadian Equipment and Corporate Finance Activities conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Susan Cohen, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on such short notice. Earlier today, press releases were issued to announce a strategic acquisition by Laurentian Bank and the concurrent issuance of subscription receipts. François Desjardins, President and CEO, Stéphane Terrien, Executive Vice President, Personal and Commercial Banking, and François Laurin, CFO, will discuss these events. They will refer to a presentation that can be found on our website in the Investor section. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Please note, relevant prospectus information related to the subscription receipts is included in the press release and in the presentation. In addition, our comments may contain forward-looking statements, and it's possible that actual results may differ materially from those projected in such statements. For the complete cautionary note regarding forward-looking statements, please refer to our press release or to the presentation. I am now pleased to turn the call over to François Desjardins.
Thank you, Susan, and good afternoon. Today, I'm very pleased to announce that Laurentian Bank has entered into an agreement to acquire CIT's Canadian Equipment Financing and Corporate Financing Activities. Earlier this year, the bank announced its intention to increase the percentage of revenue generated by our commercial activities as a priority in our transformation plan. This acquisition will contribute directly towards achieving our growth agenda. I would now like Stéphane Terrien to discuss why this acquisition is really great news for the bank overall, and particularly exciting for business services. Stéphane?
Thank you, François, and good afternoon, everyone. I will begin on slide 4. CIT Canada is a leading player in the equipment finance and corporate finance sectors across the country. It has been active in Canada for over 25 years and has about 140 employees. With the acquisition of a portfolio of approximately $1 billion, we have reached a new milestone aimed at expanding the bank's business services. However, we are acquiring much more than a portfolio. We are buying a profitable business with greater distribution capabilities, a more complete line of products and services, a larger pool of customers, and enhanced sales force deployment and key relationships. We will leverage this platform to further grow our business. Concurrent with this acquisition, the bank has entered into a bought deal agreement with underwriters to provide the financing in the amount of $135 million of subscription receipts. We will also take this opportunity to create a new national subsidiary, LBC Capital, which will consolidate all the equipment finance assets of Laurentian Bank and CIT Canada. This reflects our desire to expand our equipment financing offering and become a more important player in this market. A few years ago, business services put in place a growth strategy. Slide 5 highlights the momentum that we have gained. Over the past 2.5 years, loans to business customers have grown by 33%, a level that significantly exceeds industry growth rates. Commercial lending has led the way, increasing by 49% over the same period. Within commercial lending, we identified equipment finance as a niche area of specialization and implemented a strategy to expand the mid-market segment. We have been successful in this initiative as the portfolio has grown organically from virtually nothing 2 years ago to almost $350 million today. With the addition of CIT Canada's equipment finance portfolio, we gained the ability to distribute our financing products through vendor-dealer programs to reach their end customers. This gives us the capabilities to participate in the smaller ticket, higher transactional volume segment, and solidify our presence in the equipment financing market. A few months ago, Laurentian Bank presented its transformation plan. As shown on slide 6, The transaction that we announced today is perfectly aligned with our strategy. The acquisition supports one of the bank's growth engines by significantly increasing the activities of business services. Reaching $9.4 billion of loans and acceptance on a pro forma basis, this business line is advancing towards its 2019 target of $13 billion. As well, adding CIT Canada's activity increased the mix of business services within the bank, improving its overall profitability. The acquisition also adds scale and significantly strengthens the bank position in the large and fragmented equipment financing market. It complements the bank's current offerings and customer base and adds a new vendor and dealer financing capability. It builds on the bank's competitive advantage, which include a high level of expertise and specialization. With respect to the corporate finance portfolio, it meshes well with our existing offer and know-how. Finally, the acquisition expands the pan-Canadian footprint, enhancing diversification across geographies. Let me now describe the business that we are buying. The equipment finance portfolio presented on slide 7 stands at approximately $700 million and consists primarily of commercial financing and leasing products to small and mid-market business across Canada. It is a diversified book with an average ticket size of about $80,000. It serves 16,000 customers and has relationship with over 750 vendors and dealers. The vendor-dealer platform expands our reach and broadens our product offering, providing access to an indirect channel of distribution. The CIT Canada Corporate Finance Portfolio, presented on slide 8, stands at about $300 million and is a good fit with the bank's syndication activities. CIT Canada specializes in renewable energy with solar and wind energy projects, accounting for a good portion of the portfolio. Infrastructure accounts for the balance. Renewable energy is also a specialization of the bank, so combining the two portfolios results in a critical mass, improving our position in this space. With 25 years of history, the CIT portfolio has proven performance through credit cycles. We have completed our due diligence process and are satisfied that the acquired assets will perform in line with assets that are similar in nature. As I mentioned earlier, and is highlighted on slide 9, Laurentian Bank is very focused on and making good progress towards its transformation. Business services has a big part to play in the transformation, and this acquisition is a significant contributor. With regard to the 10 critical elements of the transformation plan, CIT Canada increases business services in the bank mix. As illustrated on slide 10, the proportion of assets represented by our commercial activities rises to 29% from 27%, which will positively impact the bank's net interest margin and drive net interest income. Furthermore, when we consolidate the two equipment finance portfolio into the newly created LBC Capital, we reach $1 billion of assets, accelerating the path to business services' overall growth objectives. CIT Canada also contributes to expanding our pan-Canadian footprint, as illustrated on slide 11. Its head office is in Burlington, Ontario, and it has presence in Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. On a pro forma basis, the geographic diversification of the combined portfolio is improved. From a strategic perspective, CIT Canada is a perfect fit, and from a financial perspective, it's an attractive transaction. François Lorrain will now summarize the financial aspects of the transaction.
Thank you, Stéphane, and good afternoon, everyone. As summarized on slide 12, the purchase price of the $1 billion portfolio that we're acquiring is based on the fair market value of the assets and is within the context of the market. The bank's existing balance sheet liquidity and potential securitization of a portion of the equipment finance assets will largely be used to fund the purchase. Concurrent with the acquisition, the bank is issuing $135 million of subscription receipts at $47.85 per share. The subscription receipts will be exchangeable into common shares of the bank upon closing of the acquisition, ensuring that its capital ratios remain strong. At the close of the transaction, the pro forma CET1 ratio is expected to be maintained at the pre-transaction level, which was 7.9% as of April 30th. The transaction is expected to be modestly accretive to adjusted earnings per share in 2017 and accretive to adjusted EPS by approximately 4% in 2018. It's anticipated that the transaction and integration costs will be between $25 and $30 million, with substantially all of the integration work expected to be complete by the end of calendar 2017. Furthermore, we plan to optimize our activities and gradually achieve benefits of scale as well as operational efficiencies. The deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2016, subject to customary conditions, including regulatory approvals. Our efforts are focused on achieving our midterm objectives, summarized on slide 13. The acquisition of CIT Canada, with its greater distribution capabilities, more complete line of products and services, larger pool of customers and key relationships, will contribute to our growth objectives and our return on equity target of 14% by 2019. To conclude, the acquisition of CIT Canada is aligned with the bank's transformation plan, accelerates the growth of business services, strengthens the bank's position as a national player in the equipment finance market, and improves its profitability. I will now turn the call back to Susan.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to turn the call over to the conference call operator for the question and answer session. Ron, please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll now take our first question from the line of Peter Rutledge with National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. I wonder, what are the risk weightings on these new assets? Is it 100%?
No, approximately 80%.
About 80%. Do you have a range of the goodwill that will accrue as a result of this?
At this point, we're still computing, and then in Q4, this will be disclosed because it could be between intangibles and goodwill. But in Q4, this will all be disclosed in public, Peter.
Yeah, I'll ask the question, and I understand if you don't disclose it, but I'm curious to what the premium, if you take the consideration paid to CIT, what the premium will be relative to the fair value of the assets acquired.
It's a small premium to the value, to the book value. A small premium to the book value.
Small premium. Okay, thank you.
And we'll now take our next question from the line of Darko Mihelic with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Can you give us a sense of the kinds of originations you're expecting from this business on a go-forward basis?
On a combined basis with the existing portfolio that we have, we expect roughly $350 million a year.
And what is can you speak to the credit quality of the book and what our expectations should be on that front? I mean, what kind of loss ratios are we looking at with this kind of business?
We cannot comment on historical performance of the business under CIT ownership, but we did an adequate amount of time to complete our due diligence process. We are satisfied with the historical level of credit losses and anticipate that this portfolio will perform in line with other portfolios of similar nature.
Okay, and then just the last question for me is, the $25 to $30 million of transaction and integration charges, what are those for? What exactly are you doing with the business that you'd need to take that much in charges?
We have to obviously bring them on board the bank system, transfer the employees. We have also an agreement for a short period of time with CIT to support us from a computer IT perspective. That's basically the integration cost that we're looking at. Obviously, okay. In addition to other TNI costs.
Okay, thank you. And then just to be perfectly clear on the integration and transaction costs, you'll be taking those as you go. In other words, they'll be like an item of note for us in the financials. Is that the proper way to think of that?
That's correct, Darko.
Okay.
They will be disclosed, and as mentioned, we expect that substantially all complete by the end of calendar 2017.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll now take our next question from the line of Sumit Malhotra with Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. Just to go back to your capital outlook here. So if I take your comment on roughly 80% risk weight on this portfolio, so that would be $800 million of RWA, and then the equity issuance that you're conducting. If I was to put that in on a pro forma basis, it looks like your capital ratio would actually go up by a decent amount, by about 40 basis points on my math. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but does that imply that the goodwill or intangible addition is quite sizable? It doesn't sound like that's what you were saying to a previous question, but just hoping you can help me understand why your capital would be flat if the original sounds so strong.
Thank you for the question. It's too much. This is not as high of a bump in the capital ratio. We'd be around the level we had. I think we could take it offline, but to review this, obviously we estimate that there will be some intangibles and goodwill that we need to factor into the equation and the issue of capital, Summit. So it's not that high. So obviously, and we think it's accretive, so we could work it backwards. But it's clearly not that level.
Okay, listen, I'm not. There's not too many moving parts from what you've told us here. There's the equity issue and there's the RWA, but we can talk about that afterwards. And then secondly, just for Francois, there's always, at least from my perspective, there's always some cloak and dagger when it comes to the capital requirements from the banks. I mean, the other publicly traded Canadian bank that's on the standardized approach. Is now seeming like they want to operate above 8.5%. Just want to be clear, and we'll get to the answer here on what the pro forma capital is. But what are you viewing as an appropriate level? What should shareholders expect from Laurentian Bank in terms of where you want your CET1 floor to be?
I'm sighing here, but thank you for the question. But it's not because other financial institutions have. Raise their capital or capital ratios that we should or have to. Our levels, the way that they are today, are satisfactory to us. As you know, we said this at the previous call, and we talked about this back in January. We're looking at anywhere between 7.8 and 8.2. Which gives us an operational buffer to function, but we're nowhere near the number that you just stated.
No, I wasn't saying you're there. I'm saying that some other institutions are. I'm more concerned about what the regulator is telling you. But as far as you're concerned, 7.8 to 8.2, that's the range that shareholders should expect for CET1 at Laurentian.
That's correct.
All right, let's leave that there. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And as far as the question comes back to us in terms of what are the regulators expecting, the regulators are expecting from us to have an adequate capital. This is what we've put forth, and we're not expecting other requests at all. We're satisfied, and it is the right level of capital.
Thanks for that. My second question is around funding and loan yields. Oftentimes when we have these portfolio purchases undertaken by a bank, one of the key rationales or key advantages that you bring to the table is a lower cost funding than the previous entity had. So if you could help me understand, what type of benefit are you expecting in the aggregate funding costs that you can bring to this portfolio? And maybe more specifically, how would you compare the NIM on this business relative to your standalone, which we can see in your numbers right now? I think on a standalone basis, you're running around 1.7% on margin. How does this business compare to that?
Clearly, on the NIM part, it's much higher. It's a business service and it's equipment finance, so we expect that when that's on the books, that will improve the margin first. In terms of cost of funding, clearly there's potential to securitize a good chunk of that portfolio now and going forward.
You'll securitize a good portion of that portfolio. So we'll still see it in the loan numbers, but that will have a favorable impact to you from a funding or capital perspective.
You got it.
All right. Thanks for your time, guys.
You're very welcome.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one. We'll now take our next question from the line of Lamar Prasad with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Of the roughly, $1 billion you guys are paying for this portfolio, you're doing $135 million sub-receipts, some existing balance sheet liquidity, and securitizing some finance assets. Can you guys put some numbers around the balance sheet liquidity and the securitization?
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, sure. Of the roughly $1 billion you guys are paying for this portfolio, you're doing $135 million of sub-receipts,
yeah,
and existing balance sheet liquidity and then some securitization. Could you put some numbers around the balance sheet liquidity and the securitization?
Except for the share issue, clearly the rest is our own liquidity. If you look at our last quality report, we've got quite a few $100 million of liquidity. I guess now we know why we have those liquidity, and the rest, we could do a few hundred millions of securitization clearly at this point. But this is still in progress.
Okay, that's fair. Next question is, where are the operational synergies coming from? Is it from like systems integration? Are they expected to be material? And is any of this baked into the accretion estimates?
Well, in terms of the synergies, as we said earlier, we expect that this will be incremental to the bank overall. We want to grow that business. It's not exactly in the same segment than ours, so it complements each other very, very well. So obviously there will be some synergies, but overall what's important is that this will be incremental to the bank.
So it's not included in the accretion estimates. 4% by 2018.
Yeah, we expect those efficiencies and operational efficiencies clearly in our numbers of accretion numbers going forward.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll now take the next question from the line of Sohrab Movahedi with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Francois, when you put out the midterm objectives, did you contemplate as much equity issuance for growth?
When we did the midterm targets, what we said is would be that a combination of organic growth and acquisitions. Organic growth comes with, our objective is always to have organic growth that self-generates its own capital. And as for acquisitions, for larger scale acquisitions like this one, capital. So did I foresee all the acquisitions? No. But we do know that when we're going to make larger scale acquisitions, that there will be capital issues like this one. The important thing to know is that the growth is there and it is accretive to the bank. Therefore, instead of doing it organically, we're doing it by acquisition and then our targets in terms of organic growth starts from a higher level, I don't want to say doubly accretive, but it sure accelerates our growth plan.
Okay. Maybe just to ask it slightly differently, between the mix of organic growth and acquisitions that would have been contemplated when you came up with the midterm objectives, are you surprised as to how much acquisitions have been weighed to the front end of this thing?
Surprised, yes and no. I think that the one thing that we've said and will continue to say all along is that if we are looking at acquisitions, and we always are, we are doing it in a way that has to be accretive to the bank, and this has to be, it's an opportunity for us to look at these different portfolios as they come up. So, there's an active looking, but there's also, opportunities that come up. This is an opportunity that came up, and we took advantage of it. The fact that it's in front ended in the plan is positive, but I'm expecting to see and hoping to see more opportunities like this all along the plan.
Okay, and then just to finish it off, then the ability to grow inorganically a little bit more than probably you had anticipated at the front end of the plan. Does this pull forward some of the dates as to which you had hoped to deliver the medium-term objectives by?
For the moment, it would be prudent to say no. We are working towards our midterm targets, and those, we can't predict the positives nor the negatives environmental, but we can predict what we can do and control what we can do about it. So we're still holding true to our targets. If we see that we're deviating positively, we'll restate them as we go along. But for the moment, I would stay on our current course.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Should you have any further questions, our contact information is included at the end of the presentation. Thanks again and have a good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect your lines.